Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. So before I dive into the homily, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. I had said at the beginning of the summer that we were going to do the 10 meditations of St. Francis de Sales, and that was very much my intention. And then the 4th of July came, and then I was sick and the microphones weren't working, and then I was in Biloxi for the 4 o'clock mass, so I couldn't do the meditations of the 8 and the 10, or 11, excuse me. And now, it's been a month since you had the last meditation, and they're supposed to build on each other, and I'm like, this is not going to work. So, I strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of the Introduction to the Devout Life and to do the meditations yourself. They are supposed to build one upon the other, but because we had such a big interruption, I'm going to let it slide for the rest of the summer and just give, you know, normal, mediocre homilies. Okay. So now, speaking of, let's get down to business. I have been a priest 17 years? Yeah, 17 years. Okay, I've been a priest for 17 years. And there are a few things that I hear a lot as a priest. They get repeated a lot. People tell me these things a lot. I hear about your spouse's problems. I hear about how your children refuse to listen and do what's right. I hear about, oh, Father, the world today is worse than it's ever been. But do you want to know one thing that I hear a lot as a priest? Like a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. Are you ready? You don't seem ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
Still don't seem ready. But that's fine. I'm going to let it slide. What I hear all the time as a priest is, Father, if I just won the lottery, I'd give so much of the money to the church. I hear this so often. And that's nice. I appreciate that. It has not yet happened that anyone has won the lottery and given tons of money to our parish. And I want to kind of reflect on that image, that idea of, well, if I just had kind of infinite money and could do anything I wanted, what would I do with it? Because today in the first reading, Solomon wins the lottery. God comes to him and says, literally, you get one wish. Ask for anything. Ask for anything, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon asks for wisdom. And God applauds him for asking for wisdom and, you know, gives it to him. Now, what we don't read in the reading today, I guess, I don't know why they cut it out, is that God also then, after that, gives him wealth and fame and all these other things alongside it. He says that very explicitly, because you didn't ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. It's a very beautiful idea. And this is a famous passage. I hope you're familiar with it. And I want to use it today as a model for our relationship with God, our relationship with how we live life. Because though the Lord has never appeared to me and asked for one wish, and I doubt he has appeared to you and granted you one wish, nevertheless, the basic dynamics there are the same. So let's start with the second reading, which is a terrifying reading that I know most priests are avoiding this weekend. Because it says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. It is the reading that gives us the clearest, most beautiful explanation of the mystery of predestination in all of Scripture. There are lots of other readings that confirm it. And we as Catholics absolutely believe in predestination, not double predestination, which is something else, and we're going to chase that, I'm not going to chase that down this morning, but we do believe in predestination. That's part of the dogma of our faith. And you hear Catholics all the time, the church doesn't believe in predestination. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we absolutely do. So let's, since we believe in this mystery, and since it sounds off when we hear it, let's kind of dive into that first, and I'm going to connect it to Solomon's experience. St. Augustine tells us that we receive many things by grace. Scripture tells us this too, but I'm going to use Augustine's comparison later. And what is grace? It is a free gift. It's a gift. It's, what is it? Gift. When I go to Walmart and get my stinky cheese and I pay for it, am I giving Walmart a gift? No. I'm giving them what I owe. When I show up in the office and Miss Connie gets to see my face, am I giving her a gift? Yes. No. No, right? We have obligations, and these things are just. And we want to understand that God is just and fair to everyone. But gifts don't operate under the logic of justice. If I'm giving you a gift because I have to, then it's no longer a gift. Now, God's grace is not something He owes us. It's something that He freely gives us. And He doesn't give the same to everybody. He gives a certain measure to everyone, but He doesn't give the same grace to everybody. Think about it. Think about everybody in this church. What did we do to deserve being baptized? What did we do to deserve becoming God's children? What did we do to deserve receiving His flesh and blood? What did we do to deserve receiving the fullness of the Catholic faith? What makes us more special than like a billion people in India and another billion people in China and all these countless people who never received the sacraments, who've never received the faith? What makes us special? Nothing. And it's not even the idea, some people try to wiggle it in the back way because they want control so badly. Well, God gave me this grace because He knew what I would do with it. No. It is a gift. It is a free gift. So that's what grace is. What is predestination? God is eternal. Predestination is God's eternal decision before time began to give us that gift at a certain moment. It's His free gift. We didn't do anything to earn it. We can't control it. We can't manipulate Him into giving it. He decided from all eternity to give us this free gift. Let's look at Solomon now. What did Solomon do to deserve being born as the son of David? Obviously nothing. What did Solomon do to deserve being the heir? Nothing. He wasn't even the firstborn. What did Solomon do to deserve God coming to him and saying, ask for anything and I'll give it to you? Nothing. It was a gift. All these things were gifts. It was a gift. It was a gift. It was a gift. It was a gift. But once that gift has been given, what you do with it matters. I know I've hurt people because I'm famously absent-minded, and people will give me gifts sometimes, like when I stop by around Christmas, oh, Father, here's this gift. I'm genuinely appreciative. And because I didn't walk into the house with it, I don't think to pick it up whenever I leave, right? And people are like, I can't believe you left this here. Oh, I didn't do it on purpose, but, you know, they're hurt. God gives us so many gifts, and they're not manipulative tools. He's not trying to trap us. They're genuine gifts. But what we do with them matters. And when God offers to Solomon, pick anything, and Solomon chooses wisdom, that was a good reception of the gift. When God has made us His children, when God feeds us with His flesh and blood, when God illuminates our minds with the faith, how do we receive that gift? What do we do with that gift? The gift is free. But the response is our responsibility. We see today in the Gospel, Jesus indicating the same thing where He talks about the pearl of great price or the treasure buried in the field. Like, once you find this thing, The only proper response is to sell everything you have and go get it. It's the only proper response. Solomon gave the proper response. He renounced everything and chose one thing. He chose wisdom, who is God himself. God has given us this enormous gift, this pearl of great price, this treasure buried in the field. And our only proper response is not to take it and put it on a shelf in our closet, but to lay aside everything to receive it well. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is very clear in the Gospel of Luke. He says, unless you renounce all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Period. That's not for Franciscans, that's not for Dominicans, that's not for special people, that's for every single one of us. Unless you renounce all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Does that mean that we have to all give up everything that we have and sell it and then give it to the Lord? Yes, we need new floors. That's what you need to do. No. What we do is we renounce it. We say, God, everything I have is yours because you've given it to me. Everything. I don't ask for anything except wisdom, except love, except for this connection with you. Everything is yours. And then for most of us, God will give a great deal back, just as he did with Solomon. Because you didn't ask for riches, because you chose wisdom, I'll give you all that other stuff as well. Because now it'll be used rightly. And we all have the responsibility to live like that. And wisdom does for intelligence what love does for the will. It takes everything beneath it and it unites it, which is an important thought. And the image that I have for it is not very refined, but stick with me here. It's the best I've come up with in 30 years or so. And that is a wind chime. I want you to think about a wind chime. Okay? Picture a wind chime. I can't draw a wind chime in the air with my hand. There's a chain and there's a circle and some pipes. Now, if you cut or break that top chain, what happens to the wind chime? It falls. Is it chiming anymore? No. And likely all those chimes got all twisted up whenever it fell. Everything beneath it gets disordered and stops making its proper noise. Now, to rehang the thing, if it's one of these big wind chimes, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to detach all the pipes first and then lift up the plate and reattach the plate to the ceiling. And then you start slowly rehanging the pipes, making sure that they're balanced on either side. This makes it sound like I've destroyed a lot of wind chimes. I've not destroyed a lot of wind chimes. I've just thought through the process. In the same way, our soul works like that. That when we sin, and even from original sin, that top chain is cut. And all of our possessions, all of our plans, all of our dreams, they're just like those pipes laying on the ground with chains all twisted up and disordered. And we have to unhook them all so that we can be reattached to God, unburdened. And then God will slowly start rehooking pipes if he wants them. Maybe one of the pipes was bent and burst. He gets rid of that pipe. And yet, dear brothers and sisters, that motion is still very important. Even if he's not calling us to a life of poverty, or even if he's not calling us to be a hermit, even if he's not calling us to sail around the world and be a missionary, we still have to make that renunciation and only take back what God freely gives us. I think about that is very pertinent right now. They're showing the guys this in the sacristy before Mass. When I went into seminary, I renounced my love of fantasy and sci-fi and was like, you know, I'm really going to focus on prayer and stuff. And then that didn't work, so I went back to fitness. No, okay, what I'm saying is, some years later, God reattach that pipe? But it's serving a very different purpose now. He wants me to love fantasy and sci-fi now. I renounced pets. And then he gave them back to me. I renounced sanity. Still waiting for that one. No, right, the reality, dear brothers and sisters, is that I've seen this in my own life. And it's about recognizing God's free gift to us, that everything we have is his gift. If he really wants us to have it, then we shouldn't be afraid to give it up. It's like whenever you reach for your credit card at dinner and you're just waiting for the person, you're like, I got it. Right. If he really wants us to have it, we can renounce it. We can say, Lord, take this from me if you want. And he'll give it to us. Our concern is, just like with highest gift, the grace, we want control. We want to say, well, Lord, I want to be able to earn this. I want to be able to control this. I want to say, you can't take this from me because it's so beautiful. I don't want to give this up. We want control because it's a very uncomfortable place to be in, to be dependent, to rely on someone's help, even if that someone is God. It's very uncomfortable. And the older we get, the more uncomfortable it becomes. And yet, that's what all Scripture teaches us, because that's the only right relationship to him that we have. And we see with Solomon, God gave him wisdom, then gave him everything else. And then, 20 years later, Solomon gets so many pipes and he gets them so messed up that he rips away from the ceiling again. He stopped trusting God. It's very evident in Scripture. His many wives were nagging him that they wanted to worship their own gods. He's like, fine. He stopped trusting God, the God who had given him everything. He stopped trusting him. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to think about these things during this Mass. To realize that though God may never have granted us a wish, he's granted us adoption as his children. That he has given us so much in our natural and supernatural lives. That he is the good Father who fills us with good things. And that we need to not be afraid to renounce everything. Because even though we may lose it for a time, if it's something that he really wants us to have, he'll hang the pipe back once he makes sure that it'll make music instead of problems. God bless you all.